expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square. Through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
In your soul.
In your soul.
In your soul.
All right. Good morning, Jefferson. We're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to spill the truth, because that's our cup runneth over. So we're going to let you know what's really going on up here in Jefferson, in the 23 counties that are declaring their want to separate from California, the communist state that resides on the West Coast.
Ashley, I still have music in my headphones.
Yeah.
I do that sometimes.
We're talking over the music. It's good. We have a little backup going.
There you go.
Good morning. My name is Wynn Carpenter, and I'm here with my buddy Terry Oposa. Good morning, Terry. Good
morning, Wynn. How you doing?
Good. And Ashley, who's going to keep us out of trouble. As best she can. She's very talented, and she's quick on the button, but sometimes we slip something up there just to keep her on her toes. Thank you, Ashley. Alrighty, so what do we have coming down the pike today? Okay, we'll talk about tomorrow night's meeting real quick.
Good.
Okay, tomorrow night's meeting is going to be for Shasta County, for the Redding area, our Patriot meeting and our Jefferson meeting. Jefferson starts at 5:30, and we're at 2570 Bonneview Road, and we're at the only church on Bonneview Road, so it's real easy to find as you're heading west or south, whatever you want to call it. It's on the right-hand side. So come one, come all, come listen and hear what's going on. And Terry, who are we having tomorrow night? That is, I went brain dead.
Joe.
Oh, I'm Joe Comente. I'm sorry. Yes, Mr. Comente, who is running for District 1 here in Redding and for Board of Supervisor. And come ask questions and hear what he has to say and find out and learn more about Joe. He's a great guy, and he's got a great team in place, and we're going to support him any way we can. So come hear Mr. Joe Comente talk about what's going on with the race that he is currently in. And then we'll update people on Jefferson, too, if we need to do that, if there's any more stuff that happens between now and tomorrow at 5:30, which I'm sure something will be happening, because that's the way it seems to roll with us.
Yeah, we'll be talking a bit about the court case. But one of the things we want to bring up very quickly, and Kemosabe, we know you're there. In fact, Ashley, you can bring him on right now, because this is I'll just sort of prelude into this. A gentleman named Will Johnson from Unite America First had Paul Preston on. And in having Paul Preston on, a lot of the comments that were made were, you know, about how Jefferson folks are doing it wrong. And, of course, I guess it's governor. Would it be governor or president, Paul Preston?
And who is Paul Preston?
And apparently they're doing it right and all that good stuff. Well, Mr. Johnson, who does a very good program called Unite America First, had made a statement that he had talked to us, basically, or talked to people from Jefferson about the court case. And when he went there on the court case, trying to connect the dots between the court case and what we're doing with our Article 4, Section 3 state split, nobody could give him an answer. Well, Mr. Johnson, the phone number here is 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567. We'd be happy to answer your question, sir. And right now we have Mark Baird. Mark, it looks like Mr. Preston's up to splash and dash again, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, look, he's not the first guy that is trying to make some hay out of all the work that we've done, and he won't be the last guy. We have a few of them, and I don't, you know, quite frankly, to tell you the truth, I don't have time to be bothered by things like that. But I know Paul. I know why he got mad. I'm not going to go into all of it on the air. And I also know one other thing. He doesn't know anything that he didn't learn from Jefferson. So I think that the interesting part about this is we've already been down that road. We have petitioned the legislative branch of government, and we did so by getting declarations from 23 counties. Excuse me. 23 counties, which we have yet to file two of them, but we filed all of them with the Secretary of State. We filed all of them with the Senate Pro Tem. We filed all of them with the Speaker of the Assembly. We had an email and phone campaign asking for an Article 4, Section 3 legislation to split the state of California, and we sent hundreds of thousands of emails, made tens upon tens of thousands of phone calls, made thousands of personal visits to the legislature, and by the way, the legislature is where the Article 4, Section 3 has to come from. There is no other constitutional process besides a legislative solution to breaking a state in half, the same as West Virginia did with Virginia, the same as Maine from Massachusetts, the same as Vermont from New York and Kentucky and so on from Virginia. So anyway, after all of that, sorry, I got a frog in my throat. We never even got one single phone call from one single legislator, not even the ones who pretend to represent us, asking us what we want or why we want it. So now, having finished petitioning the legislature and realizing that they do not intend to take the crown off their own heads, we petitioned the executive branch of government, the second branch. We made an appointment with the governor to send him all of our filings and pleadings and all and a sample declaration and a position paper on why we need to separate, and why it's a good thing for all Californians and so on and so forth. We had an appointment with him. And come time for the appointment, myself and a couple hundred followers went to his office, and a CHP officer delivered this information to the people of the North State. The governor cannot spare anyone to come out, not even to take your information and go throw it away. We can't spare anyone to come out because we're busy doing, and this is a quote, important stuff today. So that was the result of petitioning the executive branch of government. Well, there are only three branches. So now we're going to petition the judicial branch of government, having exhausted the people's resources in the other two branches. And we have sued the state of California for lack of representation and dilution of vote. We have accused them of capping the number of state representatives in order, specifically, in order to deny certain groups of people access to adequate political power and representation. It's easily proven. The 1879 Constitution, the theme of that Constitution was get rid of the Chinese. Article 19 in the California Constitution was it's a felony to hire a Chinese person. So now we're petitioning the court because the pendulum of invidious discrimination is continually swinging. Now it's pointed at rural representatives and people from sparsely populated counties, as well as the groups that are, that the state of California originally intended to deny political power. And so we're suing them. The way you enter a court is you enter the court on the lowest level. We sued them in federal court because we have a very, very specific plan to get this case to the United States Supreme Court. It's not only a specific plan, but like every other thing we've done, it is a proven plan that's been done before. We're not breaking new ground here. We weren't breaking new ground when we asked for the Article 4 separation. We knew they wouldn't give it to us. This was a plan all along to build a case that will go to the United States Supreme Court. And that case is as follows. Since 1879, when the legislature turned to the people of California and said it's no longer convenient for the elite and the ruling class in Sacramento to adequately represent you, and so we're not going to anymore. 39.5 million people have been added to the people's branch of government, by the way, the most important branch of government. And yet, while the other two branches of government have been allowed to grow like uncontrollable weeds, the people's branch of government has not added one single representative in 39.5 million people in 150 years. We are saying that's not only illegal, but it's unconstitutional. So the federal trial judge is a Democrat, an Obama appointee, and someone who has a vested interest in seeing the Democratic cause progress, the causes of the Democratic Party. She continually tries to deny us standing in court. Well, here's the deal. The way we constructed our plan, United States Code, Title 28, Section 2284, AA1, and I believe it's A2, tell us that any time a lack of representation case is brought before a federal court, and in that case regards either federal elections or state elective bodies, the federal judge is required, in other words, the statute says, the federal judge shall petition the chief magistrate of the circuit court and ask for two additional judges. And at that point, the only responsibility of the circuit appeals court is to name the judges. They don't have any place in deciding whether it's required. That's not in the statute. Their duty and responsibility is simply to provide the judges. Now, having done that, and we knew this well ahead of time, and we've spoken to other legal teams who have actually done this, knowing that once a three-judge court is constituted in federal court for the Eastern District or any district in the United States, any result of that action, the primary method of appeal is the United States Supreme Court. We knew that beforehand. That was our plan all along. So because we can't win in the trial court, we don't think. The court, you know, Edmund Koch said all courts are corrupt. The judge knows who pays them. So what we needed to do was somehow get past the circuit court, get past the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and get directly to the United States Supreme Court. And we have a way to do that through the three-judge court. Now, what this judge is attempting to do, she is attempting to dismiss our complaint for lack of standing. Well, Shapiro versus McManus, a unanimous decision by the United States Supreme Court, directs her to appoint a three-judge panel unless one condition exists, and that is that the case is frivolous and without merit. Now, fortunately for us, we have the court transcript. And in that court transcript, our attorney asked the judge, well, you only have one recourse, Your Honor, if the case is frivolous. Do you think the case is frivolous? And the judge replies, no, I do not. I think it's a very serious question. And then she goes on further to ask the state's attorney, Mr. Waters, do you think the case is frivolous? Oh, no, Your Honor, it's a very serious question. And then the judge turns to our bench and she says, and don't you think I wish I had two other judges to help me with this? So she not only admitted in open court that this belongs in front of three judges, but she also admitted that it is not frivolous. It is a very serious political question and one that begs an answer, I might add. So what we have are grounds that a trial judge, and also we also asked her the question, Your Honor, you've already appointed a three-judge court once. There is no mechanism, no case law, and no precedent for you to recant that decision. And she then said, I had a communication with the chief judge of the Ninth Circuit, and he corrected my thinking, and he told me to go ahead and rule on the motion to dismiss as a single judge. Well, how do you get away with inappropriate communications with an entirely different court, and that court has never been briefed on the merits or the standing issues in this case, and yet this judge will take their advice as to how to rule on that? So in light of all of this inappropriate conduct, we have filed a petition for a writ of mandamus with the United States Supreme Court. Now, the writ of mandamus, our petition is, in other words, we're not asking for the writ, we're asking the court to issue the writ. Our petition asks two questions. First of all, is a single judge, with regard to Shapiro v. McManus, a unanimous decision that directs federal trial judges to appoint three-judge panels whenever it's a lack of apportionment case or lack of voter representation case. They direct the trial judge. He or she shall appoint a three-judge court,
right,
unless the case is frivolous.
Right.
So that's our first question. Did the Supreme Court meant what they said in Shapiro versus McManus? And secondly, is it inappropriate for a trial judge to consult with a different court with no knowledge of the facts or merits of the case and then act upon that court's advice. Now, if the answers that the Supreme Court supplies are in our favor, we are asking the Supreme Court to order this judge. That's what a writ of mandamus is. It's the order from a superior court to an inferior court or public official to undertake a certain action. And the case in Goodsby, by the way, lowered the bar even further for standing in apportionment cases. So we're asking the Supreme Court to order this judge to constitute a three-judge panel, which she's already done once and then changed her mind as soon as the state whined. Now, these are all things that guys like Paul Preston don't know. They don't have any idea about it. They don't research. They don't know case law. They don't know the laws. They don't know the history of Article IV state splits. They have no idea what they're talking about, but they can listen to a video, they grab the talking points, and they can get on TV or whatever. I don't care, Terry. I don't care about those things.
Well, Mark, it's...
I'm going to win because our people deserve liberty, and we demand liberty.
Right. Well, I have Will Johnson from Unite America on the other line, and we actually turned him on. Well, you know, turn on his mic. And what we have here is we have Will on the other line, and Will had Paul on. And I know that Will had made the comment that nobody would talk to him about the court case or that no one would basically answer the questions he had. So we've invited him to ask us any question that he has. And, Will, good to talk to you, sir. How are you?
Hello, I'm doing good.
Good, good. You had some questions, and you had stated that you had talked to people about the court case and they just didn't give you any kind of answer. Well, I can think of 100 people that could, and we're right here for you, brother, in front of God and everybody. Shoot away.
Okay. Well, when I did the first video with Ruth from the New California Movement, I had a whole bunch of people from, I can't say they're from the State of Union, from Jefferson, but I've had multiple people reach out to me asking me, why am I supporting New California without looking into the state of Jefferson? Well, I've tried to reach out to you guys, and I never got a response back or anything.
Well,
and
actually,
on top of that,
on top of that,
after the video, when I started having people talking to me, so I started asking them questions about suing the state of California. How is that constitutional? What's the process in that, and what is the outcome on that? How long has it been in there? And a lot of them would either stop talking to me, or someone would just simply block me.
Okay, well,
would never answer the question.
Okay, so
hey, Terry, let me jump in.
Yeah, I'm going to let Mark jump in there and give you the answer to that, buddy.
Well, it's unfortunate, but there are so many people involved in this, and this is just true that and a lot of people, while they're supporters and while they believe in the cause and they generally know the outline for the action, they really don't know the specifics of the plan. And let me tell you, I can tell you firsthand, it requires a ton of study and reading to know the specifics of this plan and know the history of it and why we think it'll work. So I'm really not surprised that there aren't many people that have enough detailed information that they can call to mind. And, you know, the typical refuge for people who are undereducated on an issue is just to hang up or be arbitrary. But I will give you my cell phone number if you have any questions in the future. I do know the answers, and I'd be really, really pleased to talk to you about it and see what you think and get your ideas on it as well.
That sounds great. Okay. And, you know, Will, the other thing is, too, is Ben Berquim is a friend of mine, and that's who I called this morning. That's who called you, and I know you're both friends, too. And I'm totally accessible. Wynn Carpenter's accessible. Fact is, my home phone number's on the back of that brochure, and we have thousands and thousands and thousands of those out there. But if you have any questions at all on the court case and how that ties in, and as Mark, I don't know if you got a chance to listen to it earlier in the program, but he talked about how we went through the legislative body, we exhausted that there, we went to the executive branch, exhausted that there, and we went to court as the Citizens for Fair Representation. We went to court for a lack of representation and dilution of vote. And yes, that doesn't bring us a state. But what it does do is it would eventually and will eventually bring the Supreme Court into it that will go ahead and state, hey, you know, 1 million people for one senator and 500,000 for one assemblyman just is, A, it's not even constitutional, and B, you guys got to do something. Now, we can't recommend what that remedy is. But
we can recommend.
Well, we.
That,
I mean,
going to try to do that.
No, the court can't do that, Mark.
No, the court can't.
The court can't say what the remedy is. That's what I meant by that, is that the court can't say, well, you know, you have to do this or have to do that. And then I'm going to hand this off to Mark, and Mark will tell you where what our strategy is. Go ahead, sir.
So typically, if you win a Supreme Court case and the court rules that the representative ratios or model of the state of California is unconstitutional, then they say, okay, you won, but the numbers and the details are beneath this court. We'll kick it back to the federal court. You all negotiate the settlement, and what and when the federal court approves of that, then we're in business. So here's what we hope. Number one, the representative ratio in California is a joke. It's 350% worse than any state in the union. Now, we know that there is no constitutional way to split a state in court. It just can't be done. It's not part of the United States Constitution. However, what we can do and what we hope to do is restore as close to the model of government that the founders of California put in place as possible. And that was one assemblyman for 2,500 people and one state senator for 6,000 people. Now, what that would do for us, it would create a situation, let's just say hypothetically that we were successful and we got everything we wanted. And now California is looking at a settlement that involves 14,000 assembly people and 7,000 senators. You know, I can imagine they'd say, gosh, we can't afford a phone system that big. Can you imagine having 5 million staffers for all those representatives? And then they would essentially signal us, look, fellas, this ain't going to happen. It's too onerous. It's too difficult, and we're not doing it. Well, we find it reprehensible for the government formed by the people of California, and I can prove that. Government wasn't here first. We were. We formed government to protect our liberty. It is reprehensible for the government we formed to turn to the people who formed it and say it is no longer convenient for us to do a good job. But there is a remedy. All right, then. You need to break this state into a smaller governmental unit so that you can do it. And here's how we're going to do it. You let our people go. We will form a state with constitutional liberty. You own the monoparty in California. You can pass any bill you want any day you want. We all know that. We're all living with paper bags and no plastic straws and regulating cow farts and the highest gas prices in the nation right now, so we know it's true. And once you pass Article 4, Section 3 state split legislation along the boundaries we describe in Jefferson, and you take the two United States senators that you bought and paid for and have them introduce the legislation in the United States Senate, then, and only then, we will drop our action and we will go away. You'll be free to rip off your own people till the cows come home. We will be free to form a state with true constitutional republic. Now, whether we get that or not is dependent upon how hard we negotiate. We plan to fight like tigers, but let's say we don't get it. Let's say we get something north of the middle. Then what we do is we take that newfound representation and we make ourselves horrible pests. And we push the enemy into the corner, and we make him let us go.
And also understand, Will, that we have 23 counties, two more that are coming on, Mariposa and Stanislaus. We have the declarations for them. I have them in my drawer at home, all signed, sealed, and delivered and ready to go to the Secretary of State, the Senate pro tem, and the Assembly pro tem. So we have all that ready. We do have.
And in addition to that, Terry, we have hundreds of thousands
signatures.
Of signatures on
Absolutely.
Those declarations. And the next time you
Absolutely.
Talk to Paul, ask, he says he's got 40 or 50 counties. Ask him how many signatures he has to support the fact that 50 counties want to separate from Los Angeles, basically.
Yeah.
We have hundreds of thousands of signatures. We know we have resolutions from boards of supervisors in counties.
Nine of them.
We have county sheriffs. We've got county supervisors as individuals. We've got whole county boards of supervisors that support this. We have popular support. Paul says he does, but we do have it.
And one other quick thing, too, is that Paul makes the comment all the time, we have to show how we govern ourselves. Is he the governor of New California, or is he the president of New California? And where does he operate, out of his home? What's the substance of that? Well, I remember the comment that he made. Well, we have, 50 counties that are joining, and some have committees or forming them soon. What does that mean? We have 23 committees with real people. and we have Board of Supervisors.
We started a movement for non-sanctuary county efforts,
right.
And we've got, what, 7 or 9 of them?
We have 9 at this point.
We're about to start a movement to declare the counties of Jefferson Second Amendment sanctuary counties, and we think we can get at least 20 of those to sign on. And we have concrete plans and people in place to do this stuff. That's why we're going to win. I don't begrudge Paul his deal. Great, you know, whoever gets it done first, fine. But we have a concrete plan with achievable steps and people who are responsible for achieving those steps. And we're actively out every day with our money, our time, our sweat, and our blood accomplishing that goal.
When the three-state split was brought up, too, well, I think it's important to know, when the three-state split was brought up, we were called, both Mark and I and several other people were called also. The funny thing is the ABC affiliate, NBC affiliate, Fox affiliate, et cetera, always came to us and said, what do the people of Jefferson think? They didn't say, what does your movement think? What does your cult think? What do you guys think? They said, what and where do they stand, the people of Jefferson, on this three-state split? Where do they stand? So I think that Paul made the comment, too, well, we have to show them we can govern ourselves. Really and truly? What? I mean, Paul's governing? I mean, what is their capital P.O. box? Are they self-appointed senators and self-appointed assemblymen? Are they self-appointed congressmen and self-appointed senators for the United States Senate? Are they self-appointed presidents? Are they emperors? And by splitting a state down the middle, really and truly, the representation issue is just as bad as it ever would be. The idea is representation. That's the whole thing here. That's always been it, is having our voices heard. So with that, gentlemen, if you two could hang on, we do have to go to our first break. We've held on long here. Will, we really appreciate you, appreciate what you do with United America First. But really and truly, if you want to stay with us, that'd be great. If you have more questions, that'd be great. If you want to call us, have us on your program, we will answer any question you have, sir. So with that, if you guys would hang on through the break.
When time has come.
For 51.
Yes, Jefferson.
Jefferson.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
This is Carl Vaught, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting, and Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in their wood, moisture in their stucco would be a couple things to look for, and then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Mark Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, That estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Yeah. I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Redding. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
All right, we're back at it. We have the two gentlemen on the line, and we're going to resume where we left off.
Yeah, Will, go ahead, sir. We want to let you get a word in edgewise, buddy.
Okay, so let me ask you.
Sure.
I'm going to reach out to Paul and see if he would be willing to join me in a live broadcast with you.
Sure.
Because right now, the first time I've ever heard of State of Jefferson, like I said earlier, I was trying to look information and really no one could just say all they could say was that they're trying to split the state. But I think we all can agree that what the Democrats have done to this state has been completely terrible,
mm-hmm.
and something needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that I'm against State of Jefferson, just to be clear, because something needs to happen. Now I have my reservations about the three state split because, to my understanding, who's leading it up and their motives of the way they're trying to split it. I think we're gonna. Personally, I think we're probably end up in the same predicament that we're already in.
It'll be much worse.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Exactly. So right now, I think this is kind of like infighting. We're fighting amongst each other because we all see that it needs to happen. Something needs to happen.
Well,
and I think we all can agree to that. But so I'm gonna extend a friendly gesture that maybe we all can come together on a live broadcast and just really talk about it because people are confused because information is getting twisted every which way, and I think it's getting twisted on everybody's behalf.
Well, I think that's a good point. You know, the thing is too is that we have reached out to Paul. In fact, there was a time when Paul called us just about every night at 10 o'clock at night. The real deal is that there is no, you haven't heard anything about us even mentioning New California. We have YouTubes. We've done interviews. We don't even mention New California. We've never mentioned it. There isn't anything that we brought up that people have heard anywhere other than the fact of refuting or rebutting what's being said. The idea of the misnomer, and Paul knows this. This is the only problem I have. It's the misnomer of him saying that our lawsuit with Citizens for Fair Representation will not create a state. We never said it would create a state. What we said is it would increase representation, and therefore the remedy down the road would most likely have to be a state split if they do representation in the benchmarks that we have that are outlined from 1862 via 1879 in the Constitution. So that's been the deal. So this really hasn't been anything other than the fact that really and truly the lawsuit and the State of Jefferson is an action. One is showing what's happened to us. The other one is our remedy. Our remedy is the State of Jefferson to this egregious lack of representation. That's always been in it, and he knows that, and he knows it well. I mean, we spent hours and hours and hours. He spent time at my home. He stayed at my home several times. So it isn't a thing to where there is some sort of position to where anybody's trying to be have animosity toward anybody else, especially us with other people, other than the fact that we don't want to have somebody misrepresent what we're doing when they truly know the reasons for it and truly know and understand completely why we're doing it.
Okay.
So that's the only issue. I tried to call him. I call him. He won't answer the phone. I mean,
And, two, we want to make sure that everybody understands this is a grassroots movement. This is by, of, and for the people. There have been many, many, many people that have put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and their own money into this. People have truly uprooted their lives to make this happen and to work on this. And I'm speaking from personal experience. So we all have put a lot on the line to do this, and we're doing it morally, ethically, and we're doing it constitutionally. We're following the letter of the law to do this. And it's been a work in progress. We've been doing it for almost 5 years. It started in August of 2013 is when it started with Mark. So it's been, coming up on 5 years of working on this. So it's a work in progress. People get it. People understand it. And the more communications we have, and we've grown, too, by having not only having the town halls and the nuts and bolts meetings that we call them, and then going out and talking to people and getting feedback, getting all kinds of stuff, because there has been a lot of change in the process because that's what's needed for it to move forward.
you have dialogue and you figure out what's going to work, what's not going to work. In the very beginning, if we look back then to where we are now, there's no way we could have ever fathomed we'd be where we are because of the process we thought we understood then, which clearly we didn't. And now we're understanding the process because of the team we have in place. And I'm speaking from personal experience because I am part of the lawsuit team, and I am on the conversations and the calls, and I sign the checks and all that other stuff. So I get it. I understand it. And it's come along. I've come a long ways on understanding that. And our attorneys have even come a ways on understanding the processes too, unraveling things that are there constitutionally for us to use and finding the people that have been doing these kinds of things to work with us. And so we've got a great thing going, a great team going, and everybody's moving forward and everybody's committed to this. And it's going to happen. Believe me, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when, but it's going to happen.
And when also, just for, if you'd like to, Will, we're going to be having a phone call tonight. Wynn's going to give that number right now on the phone call we're having tonight. We open that up to folks to listen, and we'll be discussing not only where we are with the, there's some feedback that somebody's getting in the back.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, and the phone calls we have are the second and fourth Sundays of the month. And so what we do is we open it up to anybody who wants to call in. And on these calls, you can hear what's going on, but you can't talk. But you can hear, and then you can also go to our website at the same time, soj51.org, and go to the events calendar, and then click on today's date, and it'll show the meeting there. And then click on that, and then it'll say chat room. Get into the chat room. Then you can ask your questions via chat mail. So you can be listening on your phone and actively reading what's going on in the chat room on the chat room portion of the website. So the number to call for everybody is 712-770-4114. Again, 712-770-4114. So that's the number you call in, and then you go through the menu item options, and then it'll ask you for your access code. And the access code is a six-digit number, 307-268, hashtag or pound. Again, access code is 307-268, pound. And so once you get in there and you can hear what's going on, you can hear what people are talking about, and everything is Jefferson. Anytime we have these meetings, we talk about what's going on in Jefferson. They're earmarked to last for up to an hour. Typically, they don't last that long. We have had some last that long, but typically they don't last that long. And they're it's good feedback, good information, and, again, you can ask your questions in the chat room at the same time.
Yes, and also, Will, we have on SOJ51.org, we also have what's going on as far as the motions, our court cases right there. Everything is completely accessible. Will, where are you from? What area of the state are you from?
I'm in Northern California in San Joaquin.
Oh, okay, San Joaquin County. Okay. All right. There's a meeting there in San Joaquin County. I believe it is Monday on the 9th. Wynn's looking it up right now. We can even give you a location for that.
Well, maybe. I don't know if I have that for sure.
If not,
I don't think
it'll be posted. We can get that posted somewhere. We'll get that to you. Well, there's going to be a meeting right there in San Joaquin Valley, or San Joaquin County, excuse me. Brett Murphy is going to be doing that meeting. Now, one other thing, too, and that's what I found interesting about the fact that you had people call in. We probably have, without exaggeration, 100 people that can do town halls about Jefferson and answers the questions as well as just about anybody else. We have people in every county that can do that. Brett Murphy will be doing one in San Joaquin County. He was invited. A bunch of people got together, wanted to hear about Jefferson. So he's heading over there with Mark Whitehead. They're both from Calaveras County, and they're heading over there to do a town hall on Monday. And I think it's 6 o'clock Monday, but I will definitely get you that information. We'll post that. And Sally, in fact, if you can get that information, Sal, you're out there, maybe you can text that to Wynn, and we can get that to Mark before he gets off here. Any other questions, my friend?
No, just, I guess, let me reach out to Paul, like I said, and we'll schedule a time for everyone to come together, and we can talk about it, if you're up to it.
Yeah, I was up to that months ago.
He
knows my number.
And that's just going to be like one of our many conference calls that we always have. We have those all the time. I mean, multiple times a week, actually, and especially when we're doing all the drafting of the the lawsuit papers and everything else when we're dealing with the attorneys and everybody else. There are multiple conversations sometimes a day, so it just depends on what's going on. But we're used to doing that. That's how we operate.
You betcha. You betcha.
Okay. It sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks for all you do on your program. You know, Ben, if you're listening, a shout-out to you, buddy. By the way, Ben Berquim will be coming up here, I believe, on the 16th
of July.
He's coming up to stay with us, as a matter of fact.
No, that'll be Mark. Mark will be here on the 16th.
Oh, Mark is. Yeah. So he's coming. Anyway, Sally's got the date for that, too. But anyway, Your friend, if you want to come up to our meeting when Ben's here, that'd be great. You're certainly invited to come. We have the meeting in Reading. It's at
2570.
Bonneview Road.
At an unnamed church.
At an unnamed church.
Because we're not allowed to name the church. So it's the only church on the road.
Yeah.
So truly, you can find it. You'll find a parking lot with lots of cars. That's it. Pull in. Join the group.
And also, if you want to email me, Will, my email address is very easy. It's terryrapoza@hotmail.com. terryrapoza@hotmail.com. Feel free to email me. And we can make sure that we at least keep you up to date on all the information that we have so you can be informed on what we're doing. How's that sound?
Okay, it sounds good.
All right. Well, thank you, Will.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, bye-bye. Will. So, Kimi Sabe, any parting thoughts here?
No. As a matter of fact, I got to run because I got to fly, and so I'll just have to check in with you next week.
All right, brother.
Be safe.
Hopefully we'll talk to you tonight.
Time has come for 51.
Amen.
Time has come for 51, amen, buddy.
All right. So Mark covered all the stuff on what we're doing as far as the writ of mandamus, what it's all about, so forth. And
I think it's important to know that tomorrow night I've got a statement here. And tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at 2570 Bonneview Road at the church that will remain nameless, we will be having a reading of I've got a very short couple of paragraphs here that explains exactly what the writ of mandamus is that we filed, the motion we filed with the writ of mandamus with the Supreme Court. And we'll be talking about that tomorrow, answering questions on that. And right now we have Nick. Hey, Nick, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing as good as I can with the little tiny bit I got left. It's dwindling, home skillet. How are you?
Good. You just hang in there, buddy. Have faith.
Hey, listen. You know, I've had a couple conversations on Bot's show with our representative, Doug LaMalfa.
Right.
And I didn't know he was such a staunch supporter of Jefferson because he told me he bought a T-shirt in the 80s, and he's been supporting us ever since. And now I see him getting on the bandwagon for Puerto Rico, and he suggested that if Puerto Rico became a state that we'd just waltz right on in. So maybe we should take our whole support system and get behind Doug and join the push to bring Puerto Rico into the States, although they've got nothing to offer. And
they do. They have two senators for the United States Senate that would be Democrats.
Well, not according to Doug. He says they've got a representative now, and she's a conservative. I'm starting to wonder, you know, about him. Do you really feel like he's given us much support?
Well, see, here's the thing about the representative that they have. They have a representative in Congress that's very limited in what he or she can do. They don't have senators. If they're a state, I'm sorry, but it's the deal, Congressman LaMalfa, they will get two senators. And I would imagine that those senators would have to at least have their hand out a little bit, considering the economics and the position that Puerto Rico is in. So, yeah. I agree with you, buddy.
I just don't feel like he supports us. He talks a good talk when you're talking to him. You know, he told me he bought a bumper sticker, but he put it in his top drawer. He forgot to put it on his car. And, we could use a voice.
Well, you know, I think the thing is that, there are some things that, any congressman, any senator does that you like, and there's some things that that you don't like, and that's kind of the deal.
Senator I did like. What was it? Who was that comedian from Minnesota that resigned? Maybe we could get some more of them to resign. That's how I'd like some of our senators. And I'm having a tough time figuring out whether I want to support Kevin DeLeon or Dianne Feinstein.
Real
it just makes you
there,
proud to be a Californian, doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
Okay, you guys have a great day.
I miss you, brother.
I'll be back. Bye.
Bye. Bye, Nick. Take care. Okay, I do have that newcaliforniastate.com website, and that's what it is, newcaliforniastate.com. Again, newcaliforniastate.com. So if anybody has any interest in checking that out, go for it. So anyway, Sally got it to me, so I'm sharing it with you. So there you go. Let's see. What else did we have on? We had something else, and I...
We got a phone call here, too.
Yeah,
she's
well, we've got
negotiating it.
Okay. Well, Mark did a great job on discussing everything because the stuff that I brought and the notes that I have, I was going to talk about that. But, you know, I can never do come even close to what how Mark presented, so I'm not going to go there. And there's no sense of saying it twice. So.
Well, what we'll do, again, tomorrow night at 2570.
Bonneview Road.
Bonneview Road. Yes. We will be reading the statement that Mark gave and explaining some things. And it's a very short statement. It's probably 2 minutes.
Yep, yep.
Maybe 2.5 minutes at the most.
Yep.
And it's very understandable. And then we'll be taking questions on that. And so now we have a gentleman. Oh, Rudy. Is this Rudy from Stanislaus?
Yes, it is.
Hey buddy. Hey, Rudy, how you doing?
Buddy? Oh, not too bad. I listened to the gentleman before that was in San Joaquin. And, you know, just I think in California there's a lot of people that feel something's wrong. And the first step in fixing something is to admit something's wrong. And I think our group has that. We've admitted something's wrong. You know, California is irreparably broken. And there's a lot of other people who feel the same way, but they don't have the idea that how to do it. Or they're going about it the wrong way. Like New California would be one of them. You know, we'll just copy California. So I think that we have the right solution.
And frankly, so does Paul Preston. I mean, you know, the thing is that it was, you know, we have to show that we can govern ourselves. Okay, does that mean we create a shadow government? Who's the governor? Who's the senator? Who's the state assemblyman? Who's the senator for the United States Senate? The two senators. Oh, well, wait. What about what about the House of Representatives? Well, wait. Where's the Capitol? Where's the Constitution? Oh, well, I know the Capitol's a P.O. box, right? But it's got to be a P.O. box. I mean, that'd be great. So you're a self-appointed. Let me get this straight. You are a self-appointed governor of a state that doesn't exist. That's Capitol is a P.O. box. Really?
Makes me feel good.
Oh, I'm telling you. It's just you can't make this stuff up. Rudy, we love you, brother, and have a great day. We've got to go off here to our other caller. So
keep up the fight down there, buddy.
You bet. Thank you, Rudy.
No problem.
All right, we're off to Terry. Good morning, Terry. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good.
I'm calling in. First of all, I want to point out a big difference between the two movements, if you want to call it that. I am so proud of the transparency that the state of Jefferson offers on our website, with our conference calls, with our newsletters. And I think by comparison, when you check the other website, you will find none of that there. And the other thing I want to remind everybody as far as the various sources we have for news and announcements is to be sure to subscribe to the Jefferson Messenger. Yesterday, the Messenger came out. It's published the second and fourth Saturday of each month. You can go to our website, soj51.org. And click on resources, and to the bottom you can subscribe. It's free, and also you can read back issues. And in yesterday's publication, most important, we went into great detail about everything to do with the latest court action. Plus, it'll list the various events where meetings are located. We offer so much for people to resource to find out more about the state of Jefferson.
Amen, and you did a stellar job on that, Terry. I have the printed version in front of me, and you guys went into great detail on that and put out a lot of great information.
And people, well, thanks, and, thanks to Mark.
Well,
as you said, when none of us can explain and articulate about our court case like Mark Baird or other information.
Oh man!
And that's because of all the homework and studying and just self-taught information. Well, not even self-taught, but just all that information that he's gleaned.
Hard work.
And it's been hard work. I mean, time away from family and everything else for him learning all this stuff and also. Being part of that whole the legal team and everything, it's just there's so much there, and just to be able to put it into a small article and put it out there so people can kind of get the gist of it. He does a very good job. You're absolutely right.
Right, and I wanted to make note. Tuesday is El Dorado County's business showcase and fundraiser, and Terry Raposa and Sally and yourself will be there.
Yep.
And Terry will be part of the program to give the latest updates about the court case.
All right, he's going to do his song and dance up there, is he?
Pardon?
He's going to do his song and dance.
Yeah, right, yes. So anyway, we're looking forward to Tuesday. We're getting such great response with people attending, and the business community, we have almost 70 businesses participating.
Nice.
Either with booths and or offering prizes. So that'll be Tuesday at the American Legion Hall, July 10th. 4 to 8 p.m., 4561 Greenstone Road in Placerville.
Perfect. And on top of that, you're going to have something else going on there, the $10,000 501c3 match, correct?
Right, right. And we're pleased to say that we're at just about $8,000.
Oh, man.
That's what
so
you
think.
So
we're going to make it. So we're going to be depositing $20,000 into the legal fund. Plus, the proceeds from the business showcase also go to the legal fund. Everything we do in El Dorado County, any monies we obtain, it all goes to the legal fund.
Okay, and Terry, I also received checks in the mail, so I will be bringing those with me to share with Sharon when I'm down there so she can do whatever paperwork she needs to do. And
okay,
account for all that.
That.
So you're actually
okay,
over 8,000.
Okay, well, we're looking forward to seeing all of you, and you have a great day, and go Jefferson.
You bet. Thank you,
Terry.
Darling.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What a sweet lady.
She's great. You want to give the phone number again
and
where they can donate and about the con?
The phone number.
All yours.
Tonight, for the phone number for the conference call, the second and fourth Sunday of each month, typically the day after the messenger comes out, and it's always listed in the messenger, another way to find it. Okay, conference phone call number is 712-770-4114, and the access code is 307-268-pound or hashtag. And you can also go to soj51.org, get into the events calendar, go on today's date, click on today's meeting, and then click on the chat room, and then you can get signed up and go in there. You can read and see what people are saying via chat, and then you can hear in the conference call what's going on and kind of make it come full circle for you. So that's good, and you can ask your questions through the chat room as well. So we encourage everybody to do that. And then also the $10,000 that Terry was talking about, the 501c3 match, the checks must be made out to PECAN, P-E-C-A-N. Again, P-E-C-A-N. That is the 501c3 entity that is partnered with us to make the funds available to paying for the court costs. And so in the memo portion of your check, it must say SOJ Formation Legal Fund, at SOJ Formation Legal Fund. And so it has to have those two things on the check, or it won't be counted in that portion of it, because by law we have to follow. That's the protocol we have to follow when we receive the checks. So you can mail them to the P.O. Box, 751 Palo Cedro, 96073, or you can send them to Sharon, and I know I had her address here, but I don't see it at the moment. So you go ahead and mail it to P.O. Box 751 Palo Cedro. I know we had it here in the paperwork, but I don't see it right now. I apologize for that. Anyway, there. That's it. You can also get a hold of Sharon if you'd like to on... Yes, you can get a hold of Sharon or Terry. You can go to sojedc@gmail.com And you can go to liberty_x@sbcglobal.net. You can get a hold of them that way. And we can go from there and see how it goes with getting the funding and getting the match. And when we do the matching, it's always wonderful to have the donors that are willing to do that up to $10,000 match. So there you go.
All right, my good friend. Come to an end here for another hour.
All righty.
And you can go to this on the archives and hear this program.